Right now, we're going to go back in time a little bit. You look at today's Chronicle Telegram, the front page has a picture of the demolition taking place of St. Joe's. And the other day, they opened up a time capsule. And here's what the Chronicle, a little bit from their site, the video. Here's the audio from the opening of the time capsule.
We reached out to the Historical Society, and they were more than happy to accept the contents.
And Chesky Brewer buys local plot.
Wow. Sandusky Brewer by you know what?
Bromer, Edna Beckett, Irene Hill, Catherine McDermott, Public, involved in the... This, here's the lock that probably went in the tin box. How many people know? But I'm afraid if I pick this up, everything underneath it is going to fall apart.
Oh, man, that's preserved.
Yeah, that's isn't that amazing?
Wow, that is.
And the voice you hear there is from Barb Piscopo with the Lorain Historical Society. She joins us this morning to talk a little bit about that special time. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for this opportunity.
Sure. Let's get back a little bit for how did they know there was a time capsule there at St. Joe's? What do you know about that?
Well, I guess... And it probably is common practice that there is a time capsule that's inserted into every cornerstone. I know that at the Carnegie Library Building, the Lorain Public Library opened that content in 1957. So I think it's probably something that people typically do just for historical purposes. And it's a great way to go back in time, as you said earlier, to learn a little bit about what was going on when the buildings were constructed, who the people were, who were involved. Unfortunately, this particular tin box was in pretty bad shape when we took it out of the cornerstone, so it made it a little difficult.
Yeah, you never know how to build a time capsule so that it will withstand whatever length of time it happens to be hidden
exactly.
away. Have you ever been involved with any kind of unveiling of a time capsule before or maybe even creating one?
No, I have not. This is another first for me, which is good. It was a real learning experience for me. I've never had this opportunity before. I know that as we reconstruct the Carnegie Center, we put in our own updated time capsule inside the cornerstone with the business cards of all the people who were involved. So it's just something to do to hope that 100 years from now when people open that up, they'll remember a little bit of the past, and I think it's a really good thing.
Barb, did you take away a brick from the demolition?
No, I did not.
Well, Craig, have you seen the picture of the paper? There's plenty of bricks there, and there's
still time.
You've got Councilman Flores and also Mayor Rittenhour with the bricks there as well. But that's one of the things for a historical society is trying to preserve the past, or at least have a memento so that there's something that people can see that reflects something from the past. What were some of the things that were in this time capsule that you can tell us about?
Well, as I mentioned, and I don't know if the listeners heard it in the video, in the audio clip, it was very difficult to pick up each piece without damaging it and damaging what was underneath. So we reached back to the Sisters of the Humility of Mary to see if they had records from the old St. Joe's Hospital. And what I got from them was that there was a Lorain Times Herald dated July 28, 1923. Now you might say, well, the cornerstone was 1907. The cornerstone had been opened before, and maybe that's part of the reason why there was so much deterioration. I don't know. There were some coins there, although we've not unearthed them yet, because there are a couple of really delicate pieces that we are very hesitant about lifting up. But it says that there was 92 cents in coins, probably symbolic of the date the hospital was founded in 1892. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
It's always interesting to see what they put in there, and you wonder sometimes, you know, if you put something made of paper, how long is that going to really last? But the key, I guess, is to put something there. If we were to put some sort of technology in, like a flash drive or something, who knows when they opened it, if they even have the technology to find out what's on it. So the good old good old papers and anything that you can hold in your hand and actually have a reflection of the time is important about it. What's going to happen to this time capsule or its contents?
Well, right now we're doing some research on it. We want to put it in a humidity-controlled environment because there obviously was a lot of dampness in the contents of the box, which is why things deteriorated. And so we need to get it in one of our collection storage areas where there is temperature and humidity control to let it air out. I know many people on several Facebook pages have said, you know, we want to see it. We look forward to seeing it. And we want people to see it, but we need to also do some research on the contents. People, obviously, the public is not going to be able to sift through that content, so it will be kept under glass, but we want to find out as best we can what was really in the contents. The thing that I would like to reach out to the community about that I found most interesting of everything in there is that list of women's names. And there was, again, that paper was very fragile. And as soon as I picked it up, it kind of fell apart. But I know the Chronicle had a list of names, and I believe so did the Journal, about the names of women that may have been part of an auxiliary. And I guess if any ancestors, descendants, rather, of those ladies are around, I'd like them to call the Historical Society at 245-2563. And let us know if their grandma or great-grandma was in an auxiliary, if they worked there. We need to know a little bit about these women.
The list that I have here if they from this article was Edna Beckett, Margaret Laurette Brower, Elizabeth Hubich, Claire Lynn, Catherine McDermott, and Ellen Jane Witten.
That's correct.
Interesting that there's women, you know, there's a time where you think men would be the ones who want to promote themselves or put something in about them. But I guess maybe with the hospital setting, the fact that many times that's women are the ones who are the driving force, really, of the caring, that this is important for them to have their names listed there.
Well, you know, it's true about the Carnegie Library Building also. While the city fathers negotiated with Andrew Carnegie, the Wymondosis group, a lot of women in the community at the time, were really the ones, the driving force behind getting that library built in Lorain. So I think you're right. You know, behind every great man, there is an even greater woman, they say. So maybe that historical truism is more true than we think.
Well, I have a shirt that my wife says that behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. But that's a whole different take on, I guess, that sort of thing.
Craig? Hey, Barb, have you been involved with other time capsules? And what are they typically made of?
I have absolutely no idea. I know I have not been involved before. They tell me either tin or copper. Someone that was on site mentioned that there was fly ash in the concrete or cement at the time, which would have contributed to the corrosion of that time capsule because that itself is very acidic. Tin or copper is what I've been told. I know the new one that we put in the cornerstone, Chris Meisen, who's our general contractor for phase two, put it in a baby jar, a bottle, so that, and wrapped it around so that maybe the glass would hold up better than tin. I don't know. I really don't.
That's how my savings is being stored right now. It keeps it from getting
in
wet.
A baby food jar
buried in the backyard under the porch. You know that how it works as well. What other things are going on with the Historical Society? I know you mentioned the Carnegie Center, that's open for folks. The rig, are you still in a little construction, or has that already been completed now?
No, it is not completed yet. We will complete that project at the end of this month, and then of course the building will have to be cleaned. You know, even though the second floor was the only part of the building that was being redone at this time, the dust travels, as anyone knows who's been in construction. So we will have to clean the entire building, and we will have a ribbon cutting and grand reopening of the Carnegie Center on Sunday, November 22nd, from 2 to 5, for members only. So we want to give this first sneak peek opportunity to those individuals not only who have supported us financially, but also those people who have been with the organization over the years and really laid the groundwork for what we are able to do in these last couple of years. So if anyone wants to ride on their coattails and sign up for membership, we're happy to add you to the invitation list. It's not too late. But it, this first one really is for members only. And then we will have another public, more public open house after the first of the year.
I'm looking at some of the events you have coming up, and we're in the month of October, and always sort of ghostly things come out. And, you know, there's always words of hauntings at some of your locations. Tell me about you have a special ghost tour.
We do. We do. Actually, in October, we have something for those who are adventuresome and something for those who are creative. On Saturday, October 17th, starting at 8 p.m., we're working with the Orbs Group. That's the Ohio Researchers of Banded Spirits. We've worked with them before. They have done their own investigation of both the Morehouse Museum and the Carnegie Center and have found evidences of ghostly activity. So people can sign up on our website, www.lorainehistory.org, for one of those. Then on Saturday, October 24th, from 11 until 2, we're having a mask-making opportunity. That is for those people that may want to have something for Halloween or want to do something just really beautiful and creative. Barbara Zilko and Peggy Asensio are coordinating that event. The ghost tours are $15, and the tour takes approximately 2 hours. We have two sessions, one at 8 and one at 10:30. That's p.m. And then the mask-making event is free. And both of those, there's more information on our website and also in the newspapers.
Right, and you can always call 245-2323.
245-2563.
I'm sorry, 2563 as well for the details on that. Barb, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing some of those details. It's always interesting to see what things related to history are taking place in Lorain, and with the opening of that time capsule, kind of focuses our attention on that again. Barb, thanks for sharing your morning with us.
And appreciate it. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Barb Piscopo with Lorain Historical Society joining us.